This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for joining us today. Today I want to talk briefly about some of the frequently asked questions and some of the issues that we're seeing coming up with the Paycheck Protection Program. Just as a reminder, for those that aren't aware, I think it would be hard to not be aware now. You probably have to be living under a rock to not be aware. But the Paycheck Protection Program is one of the provisions in the CARES Act, which the CARES Act is the coronavirus stimulus bill. And the Paycheck Protection Program was designed to help small businesses maintain payroll for a period of time due to all the shutdowns and the downturn in the economy created by the coronavirus. And so one of the things in there, or the primary thing in the Paycheck Protection Program, is a funding of payroll. And the way it works is you get basically 2.5 months of your payroll you can apply for as a loan. And then what happens is that loan is forgiven to the extent that you spend that money over the next 8 weeks on either payroll or mortgage interest or rent obligations or some utilities. And so basically, if you hire those people back or you keep them employed and you're a small qualifying small business, then you get that money forgiven. So just kind of as an example, let's say I'm a small business and I'm running payroll of $100,000 a month. I can apply for a loan through the SBA and then through the Payroll Protection Program of $250,000. So it's 2.5 months payroll. Now, just let's assume 8 weeks is equal to 2 months, just to make the math easier. So over the next 8 weeks after I get the loan, I have my still $100,000 a month payroll, so that means I've got $200,000 in payroll costs. I also have a mortgage obligation or a rent obligation of, say, $10,000 total over that time, and utilities of another $2,000. That means I would have my 2 months worth of payroll of $200,000, my mortgage of $10,000, and my utilities of $2,000, or a total of $212,000. That portion of it would be forgiven, and then the remaining portion of that loan, or $38,000, would convert to a loan with a 1% interest rate. And so that's the way the program works. The problem being is that there's been a lot of questions and there's a lot of confusion with the rollout. And unfortunately, with a program this size, the SBA and Treasury just were not designed for it. And so there's been a lot of delays in getting information. There's been information that comes out every day. And so every morning, I've had to log on and actually look at what the update is for the frequently asked questions or the FAQs on the Treasury's website. And I'm recording this right now on April 16th. So really, I'm talking about some of the stuff that's been updated as of yesterday, April 15th. Keep in mind, this has been out there. I think question one on this was published on April 3rd. So we're talking about 2 weeks or so in confusion. Also, keep in mind, April 3rd was the day that they started taking these loan applications. So we're talking about something right now, we're going on 2 weeks that they've been taking the loan applications, and we are still seeing questions coming up and being answered on this website. And we're seeing questions that are being answered as of today. So I want to highlight a couple questions just because they've come up in conversations I've had with people, and I want to confirm a few things as we go through this. So one of the first things that struck to me that I think was important to note is the 500 employee limit. So in the CARES Act, they define small businesses as anyone who meets the existing statutory requirements of a small business concern under the Small Business Act. And there are a few different size constraints there. Basically, if you look through the Small Business Act, they list different businesses and the size they can be. Additionally, there's an alternative size standard, which is either a maximum tangible net worth of the business is not more than $15 million, and the average net income after federal income taxes, excluding carryover losses of the business for two full fiscal years before the date in question, is not more than $5 million. So those were the existing rules. Then additionally, they added this 500 employee limit. So that was not, the 500 employee limit was not meant to be restrictive. It was actually meant to add more people in. And I think that was a confusion that a lot of people saw, as they go, well, wait a second, I was a small business under the SBA before, but I have more than 500 employees. Well, in that case, you would still qualify as a small business concern and be eligible for the PPP or the Paycheck Protection Program. And so what I think people have been learning as this came out, there are a lot more businesses that qualify than they initially thought. So there's a lot of things like that that we're seeing right now. Another question came up related to payroll. And this is something that we've been seeing quite a bit. And this is, if you're following along on the website, Treasury's website, this is question number 7. And with payroll, payroll is defined as basically the salary of the person plus the benefits. Specifically, they talk about health and retirement in the law. And they stated that the salary was capped at $100,000. So what that meant is if somebody made $240,000 a year or $20,000 a month, in doing the calculation, you were capped at $8,333 or $100,000 a year per month. So, $8,333 per month or $100,000 a year. And so the question comes up, does that include the benefits? And there's a lot of question marks there because in the actual law, it jumps back and forth between salary and compensation. So there were a lot of question marks there. And they come out actually along these lines and they say, no, this $100,000 is only related to the salary portion of it, so you can still claim benefits. So just using the same math again, so you have somebody that makes $240,000 a year or $20,000 a month. Let's say that their benefits cost, their health and their retirement benefits, is another $20,000 on top of that. So their total compensation package as it relates to salary plus health plus retirement is about $260,000. Now we take that same person, they are capped with a salary of $100,000 per year or $8,333 per month. But we still get to take that $20,000 in benefits on top of that. So that means in our calculation of their monthly payroll cost, they don't count as just $8,333. We actually get to use the $10,000 number, $120,000 divided by 12 because their benefits are $20,000. So that can greatly increase the calculation that people are looking at. And that was something that we had a lot of confusion over early on because there wasn't a lot of answers to that early on. And that's where we're seeing a lot of these questions is this law was written pretty quickly. And the problem is it was rolled out very quickly. And so there's a real question as to how all these things work. Another question we saw a lot, which is pretty self-explanatory, basically if you're using a professional employer organization or a PEO to basically process payroll, report payroll taxes, your employees are basically going through that. They recognize that the PEO is not a business in and of itself. Those employees follow the business. And that's pretty much followed through the SBA. They've always kind of had that opinion. So they're not, some of these, like I said, there was this information out there already, but this is, and there were a lot of question marks with it. Next thing I want to mention is kind of the time period for the payroll calculation. So in the law, if you read the law, they basically state that you take your monthly payrolls calculated on the 12 months prior to applying for the loan. And so what does that mean? Well, then the application came out, and the application specifically asked for the 2019 or 2019 payroll information. And so some people went, well, wait a second, I'm applying for this in early April. Shouldn't I be using April 2019 through the end of March 2020, or should I be using my 2019 calculation? And I'm not getting into seasonal employees or people that haven't been in a business for a year. I'm specifically just talking about somebody that's been in business and is not seasonal. And those are two potentially very different calculations. And take, for example, somebody that hired a handful of people at the beginning of 2020 and at meeting that $100,000 a year cap. You could be talking thousands of dollars in difference between either taking that just for 2019 or taking that from basically April 2019 through the end of March 2020. And so that was added a little bit of confusion when they put that in the application. And so as we've gone through this, they've gotten a little bit more precise in the questions. And they said, really, you have the option of either one. And so that makes a big difference for a lot of people. And that was important for them to note. Unfortunately, they didn't note that until a lot of people had already gotten their applications in. So that might affect a number of people. Same thing with the $100,000 number, actually. That was something that a lot of people had those questions, but they didn't get the answer until some people had already submitted the application. Another one that's come up quite a bit is how do we handle 1099 employees? 1099 employees are considered independent contractors, and they do not get taken into account for the business's application. They actually have to apply on their own, and so they can apply on their own if that is the case. So, for example, let's say I have a business where I have 10 employees, and then I actually have some independent contractors I hire. I have 10 independent contractors. I would apply through my business with the 10 employees that are not independent contractors, and then those 10 independent contractors would each have to apply for their own loan to cover their costs. So it gets a little bit confusing there. And then there was a question, the other question that came up is how do we handle federal tax withholdings? And this was actually a question that came up with a lot of the payroll processing companies early on, because there was some confusion in the law when it gets to what payroll taxes are included, et cetera. And so initially, a lot of people were getting their reporting of what their payroll was from their payroll companies. Whatever payroll company you might be using, they would send you a form that brought it over, and they listed the gross salary, and then they took out a lot of those withholdings, and then they added back the retirement and the health benefits. And in the frequently asked questions, they specifically say, no, that's not the way to do it. And the AICPA also came out after that and came out with their own guidance on it and basically reminded people, no, you should be using the gross salary for people. So that's very important for people to note when they're looking at this, because a lot of these things, they do have a lot of questions that haven't been answered. Another question that comes up quite a bit is when does my 8-week period start for forgiveness? So what I mean by that is the 8-week period, basically the way this works, as I mentioned early in the podcast, is you basically get the loans based on 2.5 months of salaries. And then whatever you spend on salaries, starting with the 8 weeks after what they call the origination date of the loan, that is what's forgiven. The salaries, the mortgage interest, rent, and utilities. So the question is, what's that origination date? And that's really starting to come up a lot now with question marks with people, because they're getting notification that they've met the qualification criteria. They've gotten notification that the loan is set aside for them, but they haven't actually gotten a closing date and they haven't gotten any funds. And so, especially for a business that might have laid off some employees, the question they have is, when do I hire them back? So what they've stated is, the 8-week period starts on the disbursement date of the loan to the borrower. And they also say that the disbursement of the loan shall be no later than 10 calendar days from the date of loan approval. So what that means is, the date you start that 8-week calculation is the day you get the loan funding. Now, there is a question mark there, and one of the questions that we've received, which I haven't actually seen any guidance on yet, is how do you calculate that payroll? is that on an accrual or a cash basis? So a lot of people, let's say they pay on the 15th and the 30th, the 31st. So let's say that their payroll goes out on the 15th. Let's say on the 16th they get their loan proceeds. And how do they calculate that? And most people are, it reads payroll costs incurred in the law. So most people are seeing that as an accrual basis. So in other words, you're accruing that cost every day. So if you have a, let's say you've got a $90,000 a month payroll and there's 30 days in the month, you're basically accruing that payroll cost at $3,000 a day. How you would do it with weekends and everything, most people would calculate that on a daily basis on the weekdays. So there are some question marks there as to how that still works, but we believe that that's going to be the answer. And so a lot, as I'm trying to point out here, is there's still a lot of questions coming out. And I will point out that even today, which I mentioned earlier is April 16th, 2020, there are questions coming out today, even though the proceeds from this program are almost used up at this point. And we are waiting to see if Congress will appropriate more money for this program. I know Treasury and the President have both asked for more money to be put into this program. We have not seen whether or not that's going to happen yet. So there are these questions about it. And so it's important to keep on top of a lot of this. Feel free to reach out to anyone at McGuire Sponsal, call me directly, or keep up to date with our podcast and our other information, and we will do our best to get some of this information out to you as timely as possible. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking to all of you again in the future.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuireSponsal.com.